Well, welcome to the Manifest Program. I appreciate all of you around the world that are watching. In some nations, the Manifest Program is one of the top watched programs by many people. Thank you for keeping up with our ministry. We certainly appreciate what God is doing in these last days. Hey, look at the message. We're continuing the study on angels. Angels assigned during the night watches. Let's go to Psalms 91:5, and also verse 11 says this: "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies in the day." And if we go to verse 11, it says it this way: "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways." Now, let me just mention that the word charge there is almost a military word, especially the way it would be used in the New Testament, where a general or a commander is giving a direct order to one of his troops. And the troop, the soldier, I should say, to one of his soldiers, and the soldier must obey the order of the commander. So he's giving angels a command to keep you in all of your ways. What a verse. Now, we're talking about angels assigned during the night watches, but the question comes up, what is a night watchman, or what is a night watch? Now, we see phrases used in Psalms chapter 63, verse 6, Psalms 119, verse 48, and a watchman was a man who was assigned to stay awake during the particular watches of the night. And the watches of the night, in, for example, the Roman time, there was the first, second, third, fourth watch. The fourth watch, for example, would be 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, which actually is a very difficult time for a lot of people to stay up if they're watching at night. But watchmen were to stay up and watch at night. Now, what is important, and this intrigued me, you know, I do a lot of study, and I've been preaching 46 years, but I find out that I start understanding or seeing things that I did not understand before. Angels are assigned, certain angels are assigned during what's called the night watches. Let me give you a little bit of history about what's called the watch of the night, or the divisions of the night watches. The Jews had what was called three watches. The first was from sunset, which is about 6 o'clock in the evening, till 10 at night. The second watch was from 10 at night till 2 o'clock in the morning. And the third watch was from 2 in the morning to sunrise. In the Roman time, and of course the New Testament was written in the Koine Greek language, but the four Gospels occurred when the Romans were occupying Israel. So there are some words there, like when the demon in Mark 5 said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That's just not a demon's name. There was a Roman legion of 5,800 to 6,000 men that existed back in the time of Jesus. So the same is true with the watches. The Bible talks about the watches, the different watches, whether he come in the morning or in the evening or at night. There were four watches in the Roman time. The first was from 6 to 9, the second from 9 to 12, the third from 12 to 3. And as I said earlier, the fourth watch was from 3 to 6 in the morning. And Matthew 14 and verse 25 mentions the fourth watch, where Jesus is walking on the water. Now, remember this, that the reason that you had to have watchmen is because in the day there could be an invading army, or at night there could be armies coming for different reasons to try to invade in the night. And of course, you had moonlight. You wouldn't have to have torches necessarily if you had a full moon, but they could see the torches coming, and they could sound the shofar or sound the alarm. And a shofar wasn't just blown. There would be certain blasts if there was a warning given, certain blasts for festivals, new moon. So there was a blast of war, and they would say, they would know that trouble was coming. Of course, the men within the walls of the city would wake up. A night angel, there's something that I want to call a night angel. And I want to show you this in the Bible in just a moment. But these angels appear during certain watches of the evening and even watches of the night. Let's look at this. In Genesis 32, Jacob is wrestling an angel during the fourth watch. How do I know that? Because the angel says to Jacob, "Let me go because the sun is about to rise." And of course, that would have been during the fourth watch. In Judges chapter 7, Gideon is going to fight the Midianites in Judges 7 in the middle watch, which is the middle of the night. So he defeated the Midianites supernaturally by the lights, the trumpets, and breaking the pitchers in the middle watch. And that's what the scripture says. Matthew 14, we alluded to Jesus walking on the water during the fourth watch, 3 to 6 in the morning. Think about this. At the birth of Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, the angels were watching their sheep by night. In Luke chapter 22, in the garden, an angel came to minister to Jesus, and it was at night when the angel showed up in the garden right before Christ was arrested. In Luke chapter 24, at the resurrection of Jesus, it was before about the time the sun was about to come up. Of course, the women had to make their way to the tomb, and the tomb was already empty. So he would have risen probably somewhere between 3 to 6 in the morning or during the fourth watch of the night. Now, I want to say something to you that's a story that's very interesting. And maybe you've heard my friend Jensen Franklin and I have been friends. Actually, when Pam and I got married, we preached a revival in Gastonia, North Carolina, at the church that Jensen attended. We were there for 3 weeks. And I go to Jensen's church. In fact, we used to have long revivals. We had, a 5-week revival in Jensen's church years ago. So we're very good friends. And I knew him before he was ever married. And him and Richie were his brother who's with the Lord were ever married. But Jensen and I decided to go to the area of Romania after communism fell to minister. We flew to the area of Hungary and we crossed the border. We had an interpreter that had the car, had got the car for us, and he was driving, interpreting all the way through the area. So we went there about 1991. When we got to the city where we were going to preach, we found out the night, and we're going to preach the next day, but that night we found out that someone had gone through the whole city, tore the posters down. There was a lot of confusion in the city. And I hate to say this, but about that time, a lot of ministry groups were coming in and everybody was trying to get the people in their ministry, which is a thing that happens around the world. So we had ministered that night and it was very, very hindered. You could sense it. And I was a little bit discouraged. And I was saying that Jensen and I were in one hotel room together. And he was in a bed here and I was in a bed there. And there was a man at our door when we arrived. And my interpreter, who's Romanian, started rebuking him. And he said he was a guy that had been with the secret police. And he told him to get out of there. You know, communism was over. And he laid it into the guy. Well, anyway, we got there that night and found out right after we got in and changed, laid the bed, the electricity was off. And there was a generator that had a little tiny light outside and you couldn't see anything. It wasn't like lights lit up like in a normal hotel. And literally when you lay there, you could not see anything on the wall. You could kind of make out your outline of your bed, but nothing, you couldn't see anything. So we were just talking, and all of a sudden, and right out, and the reason I know this is I had a watch on that had glow-in-the-dark hands. Something came into the door. The room lit up. We could see the pictures. We could see the dresser. We could see the pictures in detail. And we both start crying. And he said, "What is this?" I said, "I believe it's an angel of the Lord." And in the middle of the night, at probably around the time of the fourth watch, the angel of God came into the room and we got strength and we started weeping and crying, stayed there 10 or 15 minutes. And from that moment on, everywhere we went, we had massive crowds, thousands of people saved, great revival until we crossed the border and went back into the country. Angels will assist people of God in the night. And even the Bible talks about watchers, how there are watchers. And these watchers, that's a word which is used, it's actually used in one of the non-biblical books, the book of Enoch, but it's also used in the book of Daniel, where the watchers are guardians of the night. They are angels that God has assigned for specific purposes. We have often told you about Daniel chapter 10, that when Daniel was on that 21-day fast, obviously, he says in the Bible, it's chapter 10 and verse 8, that there was no strength remaining in him. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord comes, again we believe it's Daniel, and said there's been a war in the upper cosmic atmosphere and there's a prince demon called the Prince of Persia that's been holding me up for 3 weeks. Now it says in chapter 10, this is important, that the angel of God touched him and set him upright, chapter 10 verse 10, but he was trembling in fear because of seeing the angel of God. So I want you to notice that when the angel touched him, there was a supernatural strength that came to him. Daniel then received a second touch, and it says the angel strengthened him. The angel strengthened him, chapter 10 and verse 19. Now, there are several things that the angel wants to say to Daniel. Now, this is what an angel of the Lord would say to any of you if that angel were to appear to you in what we call a night watch, or the presence of the angel would come and God could tell you three things in a night watch. Now, let's go back to Daniel before I tell you these three things. Here's a man that's in Babylon. He's working with people that are pagans. He's, you know, all the Jews have gone back. He is too old to make the journey, so he stayed in Babylon. He has the favor of the new leadership there, but he's old, he's tired, his Jewish friends are leaving and they're going back, and he needed an answer to a vision that he had, which was a prophetic vision, by the way, and he needed God to hear, and Satan was doing everything he can to block the revelation that God was about to give Daniel. Here's the reason why, because if you want to know where that revelation is, it's in Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. So without that revelation, we would have this real big gap in understanding some of the end time events which are going to take place in our day and time, okay? So the angel said three words to him. Now, if a watcher or an angel were to come into your home, these are three things the angel would say. First of all, fear not, fear not. In other words, never be afraid of the presence of God. The second thing the angel said was, be at peace. The word is shalom in Hebrew, but it means be at mental rest. In other words, okay, do not be afraid of anything. Do not be afraid of the presence of God, but let your mind be at ease. Let your mind be at peace. See, God wants your mind at peace. Jesus keeps talking about the peace that he brings and the peace that he gives. And then he says to Daniel something very interesting. He says, be strong, be strong. And I looked up the word strong in Hebrew in that passage where the angel is speaking to him, and it means to fasten upon something, to hook up with something. And whatever you're fastening onto has the strength to hold you. It has the strength to hold what you're putting on it. You know, Jesus even said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. If he was talking to Daniel, he could have said it this way. Daniel, fasten yourself upon me. Connect yourself to me and take hold of courage. So being strong means to take hold of your courage. And I want to talk to you for a moment about, because I'm talking about angels that show up at night and how an angelic being can show up in the middle of the night and how that they can actually bring to you supernatural strength that you need. Okay? So, there's times that we get physically weak, we get spiritually weak, we get mentally weak. There's three realms: body, physical, soul, which is mental, spirit, and spirit, which is spiritual. So body, soul, and spirit can become very weak. And the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist in Daniel 7 is going to wear out the saints of the Most High God. And I'll look that up for wear out. And it doesn't just mean physically, it actually means to mentally wear down. And I don't think I've ever seen a time, at least in my lifetime, when I've seen more people in churches that are being mentally worn down. You know, one of the things, I'm going to just say this, one of the things that a lot of you need to do is you need to quit listening to belligerent people attacking other Christians and attacking people trying to do a work for God and people that have issues and people just attacking, because it will press your spirit down. I do not have time for drama. I do not have time to listen to somebody's gossip. I don't have some time to deal with belligerent people who think they're know-it-alls and they're watchdogs for the kingdom, and they haven't won anybody to the Lord personally in years, but yet they've got the answer to everybody's court problem. They've not won nobody. They're not influencing anybody for God. All they're doing is becoming an internet watchdog or a YouTube wannabe star by trying to get information out there of some kind, okay? But let me say something to you. You will depress yourself. You will bring a lack of strength and a weakness upon yourself by listening to negative people. Now, let's go back to the Bible. In the book of Daniel, when King Darius, some call him Darius, but Darius is coming from Median Persia, and he's now the king of Babylon. There was a new king in charge and a brand new administration over Babylon. The old kingdom was gone. The Babylonians had been slain, and Daniel survived because he predicted by the handwriting on the wall that the Medes and Persians were coming, and the king heard about it. And Daniel also, we are told by historians, Jewish historians, showed Darius the Mede where he was prophesied in the books and in the visions that he was going to come. And Cyrus as well is mentioned by the prophet Isaiah 150 years before. And they gave Daniel great favor because he showed them they are a part of prophecy. So Daniel survives this new king and his kingdom, and he shows him the book of visions. Now watch what this angel who comes in Daniel 10 reveals to Daniel about the king, the new king of Persia, Darius, watch this in Daniel 11 and 1. In the first year of Darius the king, and I call him Darius the king, however you want to say it in English, doesn't matter. The king, I stood to confirm and strengthen him. The angel of God was assigned to come to this. The king didn't know it. The king never said he saw an angel. Daniel's the guy seeing the angels. His spiritual eyes are open. And the angel said, I came to strengthen him. The word strengthen is a Hebrew word that means a fortified place, a place of defense. Now, what it literally means there is not just to strengthen his spirit or to strengthen him physically, but I came to give him a hedge and a defense. Now, why would an angel be needed to come to this king of Media Persia to give him a place of defense and a place to fortify him? And the answer is, this would be the king along with Cyrus, two kings that are there. Cyrus and the king, they were Media and Persia, two empires coming together. But he would need strength because he would be a man that would help bring the decree. They had to make a decree. The people in Samaria that were against the Jews returning when they came back from Babylonian captivity, those men tried to fight the Jews rebuilding in the city of Jerusalem. And the decrees that the Median Persian kings made gave them, I love this, the authority to go forth and rebuild the temple. Now, we talked about on a previous program about how there are portals where angels and demonic spirits move through those portals. It's just like, and I don't want to get into this because I'm getting into my new book and I'm teaching on a different subject, but in my new book that's going to be offered that deals with heaven and eternity and the New Jerusalem and the Marriage Supper, we talk about black holes in space, and we talk about the scientific idea of how it's a vortex that when you enter it, you exit almost the same time you enter it. Now, I don't want to get into that. I mean, I've got 4 minutes left, and there's no way I can get into all this. But there are portals in the heavens. There are portals on earth where there is I'm going to call it a spiritual vortex or a spiritual opening. And this is the reason why you can actually, in certain places, pray better. And you go to certain other areas and it's like the heavens are closed or there's a layer of demonic power or spirits that are over that atmosphere. Now, look, I used to do this for years as a kid preacher. I could go to a church. I actually did this on occasions. And I'm fasting all the time, praying all the time. And I would go to the church and pray and I would walk between the pews. And I'm telling you, this is the honest truth. When I was in the spirit, and what that means is caught up with the presence of God, I would hit a place and I could tell you that sitting in that area, somebody worshiped and prayed a lot because there was a freedom there. I would go to other pews and I'd walk past it and I'd say, ooh, and it's like what I was feeling would go, it would tighten up. And I knew a troublemaker sat there. I was in a church. I'm going to go ahead and tell this and tell the location of it. It was in Roanoke, Virginia, with my dear friend who's now gone to be with the Lord, Aaron Cooper. Now, Aaron had me come to preach at Roanoke when I was 18 years of age. My dad pastored in Salem, Virginia. So I go in the church to preach a service, and I go for prayer. And as I'm going, now Aaron has said nothing to me. I've just met him. I didn't know him well. He just had me come because he was a pastor in the area. And I preached an 11-week revival for him later and an 8-week revival in Daisy, Tennessee for him later because we had great revivals with Aaron Cooper. So I'm in the church and I'm walking between the pews and I got to a second, I never will forget it, second pew in section, halfway back this section and two rows from the back that section. And I literally walked and I said, every time I stood there, it's like, ooh, it's like an evil presence. It's like somebody with a bad spirit has just walked in. So I said, Pastor, would you come out here? I said, you have three troublemakers in your church, and I'm going to tell you where they sit, and I know nothing about the church, and you know I know nothing. And I said, there, and I showed him there, and he just went, son, are you serious? I said, when I pass there, I feel there's something that locks my spirit up. There's something that I don't have freedom. I don't have liberty. And he said, I'm not going to say anything else to you than the three men on the board who have harassed me and given me nothing but heartache. That's exactly where they sit. And I actually went to churches and I could tell people and tell the pastor. One time I was praying at an altar in Fairlawn, Virginia. And I'd get to this one spot and I'm telling you, I had liberty to pray. And I went to the pastor. I said, Pastor, can I ask you, does anybody ever pray here? He said, oh, our old saint of God, went to be with the Lord, come over here, consistently. That was the prayer. They lay on that floor for hours and pray. And I said, Lord, I didn't know it, but I could feel it by the Spirit of God. And so what I want to tell you is, we talk about this angels assigned during the night watches, is that you should ask God, if you're traveling at night, if your children are traveling at night, if you are in a situation in the night, to ask God to send a watcher, a guardian, to go with you. Now, you may not necessarily feel that they're there, but if you will pray, say, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, I need supernatural protection. I need you to go with me on this trip. I need you to go with me on this journey. God, any stumbling block, remove it. Any attack of the enemy, block it. Anything the enemy would try to do to harm me, take it out in the name of Jesus. Boy, I could tell you a lot of stories about that that have happened. And so, and remember this, an angel of God's presence, even though you may never see it, if it comes in the night, first thing there'll be a fear of God, not a fear, a bad fear, but a fear of God. And you have to know, okay, then there'll be a sudden holiness or peace that'll come. And then that angel of God, you'll begin to sense really a supernatural strength. A lot of times you'll start weeping and crying and you thought, why am I crying? There's a couple of times I've had visitations and I would just sit there in awe, and I got so excited, I jumped up and ran and started telling people, you won't believe there's a presence of God back there. And I thought to myself, why did I do that? Why didn't I just sit and listen? My daddy taught me to sit and listen. But anyway, I hope this has been a blessing to you. I have, in my opinion, one of the most exciting books I've ever put out and the most exciting audio teaching, brand new. I want you to get it today. Be back in a minute.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Let me just mention to you that I'm so excited about our new offer. The audio CD might be, and you got to remember, I've put out hundreds of audio CDs over the years, hundreds. It's in my top 3 favorite in the history of the ministry. In that one verse, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven, I taught a little bit on it a while back, but never got into the details. And the book, Your Journey into Eternity, is one that, let me tell you, there's a chapter in there that if you'll get this and let your unsaved family members read it. There's a chapter in there that you, I'm not going to tell you about it, but I'm telling you, I think it will stir them up with heavy conviction. So thank you for doing that. I'm just going to highlight very quickly on the conferences which are coming up. The Evangel World Prayer Center is our annual summer conference that we have. We start on Thursday night, two services Friday, two on Saturday, and three on Sunday, July the 20th through the 23rd. Please mark your calendar, whatever you have to do to be there. The messages are going to be brand new. The altar services are going to be fabulous. And then I also want to remind you, we always go to Alaska to two different churches there. We go to Willis, Texas, to two different locations there, and that'll be in August. But I want to really remind you about the main event in the month of October. And I, right off the top of my head, I'm not sure the speakers that are coming, and I don't want to get the speakers wrong, but I do know Jensen Franklin's coming to be with me, and there's several other speakers that are coming. And this is where you have Pam's Fall Festival. The Crab family are coming on opening night. We have a big tent with music. We give away gifts. We have just a powerful time on a Tuesday through a Saturday afternoon. So we have registration that'll be set up for that, but please keep that in mind. I also want to remind you, if you do not watch World Prayer, and maybe you're in Midwest or West and you get home late, the YouTube channel has the World Prayer that we do every Thursday night live, and we want you to join us. Turn that thing on and just pray with us. You need to pray at least an hour, some point during the week, and that's a good day to do it. You can always look at that at any time. The other thing is we have a Tuesday night service every Tuesday night here in Cleveland, Tennessee at 7 o'clock at the Omega Center International, and it's worth coming to. It is a refreshing time. It is anointed. It's a revival. And sometimes I'll preach occasionally. I don't preach that often because I'm out traveling and doing things a lot. Dr. Cutshaw preaches. He's great, one of the best preachers there is anywhere. We have guest speakers. We have powerful music. And we want to invite you Tuesday nights to join us there. And also, let me just say that if we're coming into your area, try to be a part of that and come and see us. And we would love to do that. And also, all of you that's on the Appalachian Treasure Hunt, at the time of this taping, it hasn't been found, but some people are really clever, and I'm just going to say that. So you better get that book and get in on it. It is a lot of fun. God bless you. We'll see you next week on Manifest.
Harry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.